Bring this meeting to order. This is the, where's my thing? This is the November 15th, 2016 Conservation Commission meeting in the
Senior Community Center.
It's gonna be a rough night. It'll be quick. And this meeting's being recorded. First item are the approval of the 10/18/16 meeting minutes. Any comments, questions?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the Whittier Bridge Salt Marsh monitoring update will be postponed to our next meeting. Yes?
Do we have anything from Ethan on the drone fly?
No, but I bumped into Bill Largent. He said they were working on it.
I don't know if the feedback was particularly positive for why we need it.
Right.
Originally, we asked GZA, DCR, and Greg.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the real feedback that came back was that FEMA and NEMA weren't going to pay for new sand, was their experience anyway. I mean, that was, which was kind of the
right.
big thing for us.
Right. I almost feel like maybe we should hold off on it until we have a much more clear goal.
Yeah. No, it would always be nice to have a 3D rendering of the beach and all that, and what's coming and going, but it appears they're not going to get any kind of an educational discount on that software either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be pretty expensive. They're going to need to decide, you know, it's going to be in thousands of dollars. So they're going to need to decide whether they want to put the money into it or not.
Right. And then there's really no point in doing it unless we're going to do it long term. And then that's a lot of money that maybe shouldn't be coming out of our budget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree. I think right now it's unclear what we would be getting out of it anyway.
If the mayor's office and the city as a whole, it thinks it, you know, prioritizes this sort of monitoring of the sand so that we can get FEMA funds or whatever in a, after a disaster, then that's something that the city can pay for.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Or they could ask us.
Yeah, well, they can always ask us. Say, show me the money.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, there's Google and New Hampshire and everybody else doing drone shots in that place. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the price of the software was, it sounded like it's going to be a big issue for them too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if they don't have many clients to use it, it's probably not much of a point in doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, you guys have some, your Plum Island updates, right?
So, the other Plum Island update I have is, just on the Reservation Terrace Dune Restoration Project that DCR is doing that you all permitted. And they are anticipating starting work tomorrow, bringing the sand in and stockpiling it at the parking lot. And then they're gonna be trucking it over to the two areas that they're nourishing along the frontal dune and then that back low depression area. They had fencing design, and they're going to be filling in some pathways and planting, and they're going to also be formalizing some other pathways and putting signage out and things like that. So that they're starting tomorrow. They're first going to be doing the nourishment and removing some of the fencing just to get onto the site, which they're going to be entering through 69th Street. And they hope to be done by December 16th, including all the planting. Yeah. So it should be a pretty quick turnaround.
Good.
So that was today. The other grant that we got from CZM has been delayed because CZM wanted to revise the scope a little bit, and they needed to work with Greg Moore at UNH, who was responsible for the pieces that they wanted to revise. And Greg is very difficult to get in touch with, and the two of them, so they worked it out. Finally, we got a new scope and a new contract to have signed. Just got that today. So that project is delayed, but at the same time, I think it still all can get done by June, which is the deadline. And other than that, I don't have any. What do you have for?
Well, there was a Beach Alliance meeting on the 4th at Peter Hall. A lot of studies the Corps is looking at for Newbury and Essex and Salisbury. I don't think there was really much that was really hot with Newburyport.
Yeah, we had requested DCR would ask Army Corps to do a 103 study for us.
Right.
And I'm not sure DCR ever did.
Yeah, that's supposed to be. But aside from that, I mean, they're valuable meetings. There's lots of things that are touched on. This particular one talked about the awareness for the winter preparedness and so forth and all of that. And the next meeting's on December 9th.
This next meeting, she said something, yeah, the next meeting is going to be 100% focused on emergency preparedness.
And things they talked about were, I mean, aside from just the police department and the fire department and staying out there, we did talk about trying to get sand stockpiled and the potential for having sandbags, large sandbags stockpiled and such, which I started looking into. I kind of got into that, and I'm not quite sure how we would approach that. If they were plastic or anything, I don't think we'd be too, even the fabric ones could be detrimental. I don't quite know. I think there are plastic ones that could be removed, but I guess we'll know better as far as the city and everybody's direction on the night.
What were the sandbags before? Just to, like on those places where the overwash is, you put something there?
Possibly. It wasn't really clear.
Yeah, it would
clear.
Be in the back. It wouldn't be in the...
It would be back closer to Reservation Terrace.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't see sandbags being too much use out there.
Right.
Not with anything that was in any kind of surf.
Yeah.
It would just be like if one of those trails or something kind of washed back and it was like a funnel. And if they could, at that point, just block it off.
Yeah.
And then that would have to be temporary if they were putting bags, because I don't think anyone would approve it otherwise.
Right, you'd also get, you get end scour around them too, if the surf is that bad. It's just going to start blowing out.
Well, I wasn't even thinking so much surf. I was thinking more the overwash and funneling.
So it's just
so it's the back.
It's a current.
The where it comes down the pathways.
But again, it's just an update. It's just a bunch of items. That's
okay. Julian, the discussion about the replenishment, did they get into installing the cameras, security cameras? Did that come up at all? Because that to me seemed like an issue that needs to be addressed. You know, because the signs being ripped down and all that stuff. I mean, it's just.
They did say that that was something that they might be able to do, right?
Yeah, they talked about maybe trying to get some of the local, the homeowners who are right there to maybe put cameras on their homes, or I don't know.
I think one homeowner volunteered to do it.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it was here that they did it, but I don't believe there was any follow-up.
No, I don't think there was any follow-up. Maybe we take a wait-and-see approach, and then if it starts to become a problem, maybe we could do that, but I'll ask them about it next time we talk to them.
Just from the tone of the discussion in here that night, it seemed as though there was blame being placed upon, you know, renters and stuff like that, but I don't even know. I don't think the renters were the problem.
I think it was one
major problem, We'll see what happens. But a lot of the signs that they put up are still up.
Are they?
Yeah. So maybe that's...
Well, someone's put on notice and people are assuming it's that person.
Right.
You may want to back off or they will bag you and go after you.
Right. So I let Sharif know, who's the Ward 1 city councilor, and Bern Ellis, that they were going to start. Yeah, I gave them the schedule and told them they were starting, so the neighbors can find out what's going on. But other than that.
Okay. All right, on to Thomas Melorani, 3 K Street, request for certificate of compliance.
Okay, so Tom didn't come, but that's okay. I told him he didn't necessarily have to, because this is really pretty straightforward, and you can see. So he built the house and did the landscaping, well, did most of the landscaping, and he got a partial certificate of compliance last spring. And then he wanted to, but before he got the partial, he amended his permit to add this shed and do some additional planting, and which he's now done, and the shed is there, and there's a ramp going up to it, and you can see it. The site is so well vegetated. He's done a really great job of not disturbing any of the vegetation around it, on the sides of it. There isn't even a pathway that really like leads up to that shed. It's just, he planted everywhere. So it looks good. It's elevated, and it's, you know, done according to his plans.
Don't we usually require 2 years of growing?
We could require 2 years of growing. It's not in the order of conditions for this one. Let me just make sure.
See, it goes Mitsubishi heat pumps. I got 2 of those. They're great.
Are they?
Yes, they are.
This is an old order of conditions because it was done so long ago, and then it got bought, and then he got an extension, and so I don't even know. I wasn't involved in this order of conditions, but actually I signed the order of conditions.
Apparently,
wow.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
I signed it too. So.
Whoa. Yeah, there's not much in here. The only special conditions are that all plantings be of indigenous species. Detailed planting plan be submitted to and approved by the conservation administrator before any plants are installed, and then after completion of the construction, applicant shall submit the request for certificate of compliance, etc. So that was it. You could ask to wait longer to see if it survives. I happen to think that it's thriving. Everything's
pretty good
out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was actually pretty well vegetated before he even did the home renovation project, and he really didn't disturb much on site at all. He was pretty careful.
Yeah. So it's mostly it was pre-existing vegetation.
Mostly, yeah. And it grew all in pretty well.
Pretty good. Anything else?
Motion to issue a certificate of compliance.
Second. This would be a full.
This would be a complete certificate.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
public hearings?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. First item is Catherine Fallon. Did I pronounce that right?
Fallon.
Fallon.
And my name is Mar Robinson. I'm a landscape architect. I work with Vern Fisher of Visionary Landscapes. I got your email this afternoon.
Okay.
Apologize for the misinformation.
That's okay.
So this is it, the page four. I have, and I just made copies of that page four.
Okay, great.
To include the total impact.
Yes.
And then I wanted to ask you, you wanted me to resend the whole form and package back to the state again?
I think you just need to send them this page.
Okay.
So they will catch that and they won't issue a file number. So this is just a correction to the form, everyone, because they missed the putting the square footage of the impact to Coastal Dune on the form. And there was, when I went to look today to the see what the file number was, and it wasn't listed, I thought, uh-oh, I need to go back through this and make sure that everything is kosher, and that was missing.
Would you be opposed to me putting a little tape on this? I didn't want to bring my big board out and read.
I think that's okay.
It's really coming down out there.
Question again on the NOI form.
Yep.
I can't tell what page this is, but it says for coastal projects only, is any portion of the proposed project located below the mean high water line or artificial? And you X'd out not applicable, project is an inland resource only.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not an inland.
It's coastal.
It's coastal. It's up under.
Oh, not applicable. Project is inland. Oh, it just should be, instead of not applicable, it just should be no.
Should
they,
be no.
They might be okay with that.
It should just be what? I'm
this
sorry.
Is on the,
This is on this page.
I didn't notice that. That's
not applicable. Yeah.
It should actually just be no, because it is a coastal project.
Right.
The resource is coastal dune.
I do.
So that should just be no.
I know you do.
Instead of not applicable.
I'm doing that.
That's just, they might not call that out, but if they do, you can resend them that page too. And if you haven't resend them the other page, maybe you just want to do that.
Yeah.
Add it to it.
Yeah, I probably should. I really messed this up. Okay.
It's minor stuff, believe me. There have been worse.
I can imagine. I can imagine what you see.
No, actually, you can't.
No. Well, I've worked with lots of boards in my day and worked for New Hampshire DES, and okay. So, existing, it's pretty straightforward. It's gravel and sand and gravel, existing site. And they've, you know, she got approval to put this shed, this 10 by 14 foot shed, and that's all there is. And so we want to put some buffer plantings in. And basically our idea is our challenge was how can we make this feel like a garden with the rules and regulations we have on the island, but also with the shed up so high. So we wanted to elevate that up, and we created this nice space with a shed, with a deck that's the 24 inches up, and it's within that, we couldn't disturb more than the 20%. So I think it's 349 for the deck and the ramp and the steps. So now she has this nice little space, sitting space that makes sense with the shed. It's like it was always supposed to be there. And then just pretty straightforward buffer plantings. We'll do native juniper and nine bark, eastern red cedar, lingonberry. And we want to do that with sand and crushed shell on top. Similar to another project we did down on the island for the Cullicord residents. I don't know if you remember
mm-hmm.
that project
yeah.
of ours.
Yeah.
But it turned out really nice with when they made these kind of undulating dunes. Plantings all around, sand, and then just sand for the rest of these areas. This little lower patio space, it's not only patio, but it's just a lower sitting space, is sand. And then other questions that you may have, I'll try to get to before you do. But this raised wood planter is again 24 inches. It's just like a little planter, so we can kind of hang plantings down to soften. There's utilities out here. We don't want to see them when you're sitting in these spaces. This raised partition wall, I think I might have an actual picture of that, sketched out, is more of like a piece of art, but it's a piece of art that water can actually go through. I had a couple of options for her. You can see it over my trace to show you, because it's kind of cool. So she's got right now this kind of this scenario going on. You know, the typical. And then what we came in, and we have a couple options. I don't know which one. I think she kind of liked the fish one best. But if we're calling it a wall, but it's basically, you know, it could be made with copper, and it's just all water can go through there.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes it a lot nicer.
Like a sculpture.
Yeah.
And it could be even lit up from the back, and it could be really cool. And as you first walk in to her house, that's what you're going to see. The other idea was the birds, but I think water would go through better, the other one. But something like that.
Great.
That wasn't that hard. But anyway, pretty much it.
The wooden planters that you said are going to be elevated
raised up
2 feet. What's going to be, how are they going to be supported? What's going to be under them?
They would just be basically sonotubes to anchor them in. I wish Vern was here for this part. This is his thing. He couldn't make it to the meeting. But I believe it's just like a 4x6, post. And, we would only go down a foot. You know, it's something that we could...
Just to support for...
It's just a support.
So it'd be a wooden bottom
mm-hmm.
to this?
Yeah,
so.
It's just a like a wooden wall. It's
okay.
Like a... I don't want to say fence, because it's not a fence. It's just, like I said, just to hide the utilities, but it's still... So, water would still be able to flow underneath it.
And how deep is it?
How deep would be?
Height.
How high?
So you're 2 feet off the ground, and then how much?
You're 2 feet off the ground, and we'd probably be another 3 feet, 2.5, 3 feet from there.
So it's like a planter box.
Yeah,
sort of.
Essentially.
Cantilevered or elevated planter
mm-hmm.
box.
Yeah.
Attach the house.
Again, it's like another, it's kind of like another piece of art element.
Yeah. If it's 3 feet deep, that's a lot of weight if you're filling it with soil. Or is that?
No, it wouldn't be 3 feet deep. I thought you were talking about the actual height of it.
Like a foot?
We probably want it a little bit, probably come out more than that. Maybe 18 inches.
Okay, but the wooden portion is
mm-hmm.
3 feet tall.
Right.
And it'll be filled with soil.
Right.
And that 3 feet is on top of the 2 feet for the post.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Well, three feet deep. It does seem a lot.
That's a lot of soil.
Yeah.
Well, not 3 feet deep, 18 inches. It's 2 feet,
and then 3 feet on top of that, and it's
right.
18 inches wide.
18
right,
inches
yeah.
coming out from the house.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
but it's
and
the
2 feet
of the
above
the soil
floor and
3 feet.
Feet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're. It depends on what you're planting. What are you planning on planting in there?
Oh, well, that of course is yet to be determined as to what's at the nursery and what the client likes. We haven't done the whole tour. We've only discussed certain plantings, but off the top of my head, what would we be planting in there? I think she would want to maybe even do some grasses.
Mm-hmm.
She might want something that would cascade down, so maybe some type of, low ground cover juniper to come down. But, native plants.
On this drawing, you have a proposed outdoor shower.
I do, yeah.
Which was not mentioned, at least on the cover sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be enclosed somehow?
Yep. That's going to be enclosed again, either mahogany or teak. And again, it's 24 inches up.
Okay.
Now, all these 24 inches,
it
should be 24 inches clear.
Right, 24 inches clear, so from finished grade.
Okay, so the
so
first
bottom
so the fourth beam would be 24 inches.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
You can't use the 24 inches.
No.
These
right. Yeah, that's what I mean when I say that. That's clear.
Be interesting looking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious on the
do
upper part there is you have removable metal edging.
Yeah. Again, something like we did over at Call Cords. It's just a curved metal piece, and it goes. It's above ground about 10 inches, and below ground about a foot. But it's movable.
Okay.
Just a sort of a defining line.
It does.
Garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It defines the planting from, from the sand on the other side and the sanded shell that is sort of more or less contained in it.
But when you say movable, is it going to be moved? Or is it going to sit there?
No, it's not going to move. But it's something that can be taken out, if need be.
It's not a permanent structure.
Right.
Right. It's a landscape material.
Right. Right. It's not permanent.
Now, we're not going to be able to vote on this, I assume, because there's no number?
Yeah, so we don't have the DEP file number yet, so, okay. But I think it makes sense for the commission to go through all the questions that they have and make sure that, everything's being addressed. And then you can go ahead and make sure DEP is comfortable with the corrections.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get the file number, then you could come back and hopefully it would be everything that would have already been, questions would have been answered.
Okay. And you want me to send that all certified again?
The best thing might be to call DEP in Wilmington, the DEP Northeast Regional
mm-hmm.
Review Center,
yep.
And just say that you have two corrected sheets and how do they want you to send them?
Okay.
Rather than going to the expense or trouble of sending
mm-hmm.
it certified. And then they can let you know if there's anything else they need.
Mm-hmm.
And tell them you need a file number too.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder since I wouldn't be surprised if DEP would be looking for it as well. Would be if there could be some notes on this page that essentially says that this deck be 2 feet above grade
mm-hmm.
and approximate size of it, and the same with the window box would be 2 feet above grade and give some
mm-hmm.
dimensions
mm-hmm.
on it.
Yeah, good point.
Okay.
I'd like to see elevation drawings that show this planting box.
Okay.
Because it's hard to
visualize it.
Yeah. I mean,
either
I don't
elevation
really
or cross
yeah.
section.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was an elevated structure before either. I thought that it was just planting around the side
yeah.
of the house.
Yeah. I think it would just make everything go smoother.
That does save.
Yeah, just so that what you're building is what we're thinking you're building.
I can do something similar to like I did with these, we did with these traces over where I take a picture and then I draw over the top so you can get a better idea.
Either that or just a cut. I mean, just so we can see the 2 feet, and we can see
the detail.
Yeah, just a side hand drawing, something like this, the house and the thing coming out and.
Yeah, we can do that.
Those are actually pretty interesting too. So I mean, you know, whatever illustrates best what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Is there
and make a note, and just make a note that everything, all these features that you've called out, will be elevated 2 feet above, just so that it's marked on the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree.
Is there any fill being brought in for this?
Fill? No.
No fill whatsoever.
No, no fill.
So all the plantings will be in the sand.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right now, it's, I don't know if you remember, the site is just all gravel. There's nothing. It's barren except for gravel. It's a terrible. It was a terrible site.
This isn't the one that had that sheet of plastic.
Yes, it is,
it is that one.
Okay.
It is that site. So anything that goes on is really an improvement.
That the plastic
was
removed.
The plastic was removed. But there really isn't even any sand there. It's just really all gravel right now. So even the addition of the sand is.
So is the sand, are you bringing sand in?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Are you removing the gravel or leaving it there?
We'd probably be taking out some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it. There was another thing too. There's one other thing. The way the curb cut is right now, I hate this about it. I mentioned this to the homeowner, is the way the curb is there's sidewalk and then there's a tiny little place for them to pull their car in, and it's this pretty large carport. So you pull in and it's very awkward to try and turn and maneuver around in this, you're kind of funneled in there. And what we want to do, we're going to ask the highway department, I believe is where I'm supposed to go, and ask them about kind of moving that curb cut back out, just a little bit more, opening that up.
Can you show on the on your sketch?
Yeah, that's what this line is. So this is where it is now.
Okay.
I want to pull it back.
Got it.
Because this is really weird.
Uh-huh.
And the sidewalk's here, and we can slope the sidewalk back down, just like it is on the other side of the driveway here. Slope back and slope up. But you want to pull it back. I get that.
It is a weird curb cut.
It's getting in and out, trying to get in and out, and it's.
And you said that there's a carport there?
Yeah, this whole the driveway, essentially.
But there's a, like a it's a roof.
Yes, you can pull underneath the house here, but yeah, you have to pull in and maneuver around.
So for by carport, you mean they just drive underneath the house?
Yeah, they drive underneath.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't know if it was a different structure.
No. No, it is the house.
Yeah.
Is the highway department the people that we would discuss that with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be the highway department.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to have it on the plan.
Mm-hmm.
So that they'll know that it's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you want me to summarize the questions that we had?
Sure.
Yeah.
So it sounds like some additional detail on the plan that shows the 2 foot elevations. wanted. Oh, and then some elevation side view sketches of the raised planter and the deck, I would say, as well.
Yeah.
And the stairs. Well, we've got that for the stairs. We need the DEP file number and is there anything else?
Well, I think, I don't know. Maybe I missed it inside the notice, but they'd be bringing in sand and removing gravel.
Mm-hmm.
That should be noted.
Okay.
Right.
And the,
so when somebody's used a truck coming in, though.
Yeah.
And the volume of material coming and going.
Something like gravel to be removed, areas where gravel's removed, replaced by sand. Clean, sand.
Is this something we're going to ask for on the sand? I mean,
well, that's a tip. That's one of our standard Plum Island conditions that goes in, is that for plantings only, beach grade, clean beach grade sand can be used for plantings, and as much can be brought in as necessary, but no mulches or soils, topsoil or anything like that.
Yep.
So that's always as a standard condition, and they've already got it on their plans. But we can, that will be specified. Any fencing proposed? Actually,
no.
Fencing around the site?
No.
Okay.
No, there's already some existing out there that I don't think is, it's not hers.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and also something where it clearly states that part of this project is to hopefully modify the curb cut.
Hopefully. You could just put in proposed relocation of curb cut, and then that will take care of it.
Okay.
Put that on the plan. That way, if you get approval to do it, fine, it's covered. If not, it just stays as is.
Yeah.
Right, because that's something that someone will call and say, what are they going to do?
Yeah, right. And also, and if it's not on here,
right.
then Tony would have to file his own order condition.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Although that's road work, but so it might be exempt. But it'll help.
Okay. We don't want to get any phone calls. We've had some phone calls, but it's been about the drainage. They were concerned.
Oh, is that one of the areas where puddles?
They were just concerned how it was going to affect their yard.
Oh. Got it. It'll help them out.
It's going to help,
like
if anything.
Yeah.
It's going to help. So.
Sand is a good thing for drainage.
Right.
And better plants, than what's there now.
And plants, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and
the whole thing.
I mean.
They should be thanking you.
Yeah, I'm surprised it was kind of left like that, but that's good for us.
Mm-hmm. We were too. I remember when they permitted the house, we asked, is there going to be any landscaping?
No.
No, not a thing. We'll leave it clear.
So,
All right, we're just going to continue this, right?
Have to.
Okay. I'm not going to ask the public because there's no public.
So does this just go to the next meeting then?
Which is December 6th.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that puts you off a little bit.
And you should be real careful that you get the number before then, because we'd be in a situation where we'd have to continue again.
Right. Well,
So sometimes DEP just takes a while to give out these file numbers, so it's not entirely surprising that there wasn't one listed today, but it could also be because they're still reviewing that notice and finding some things that they're going to comment on, and then you'll have to provide this anyway.
Right. I think with the last project we had, that the number was kind of delayed.
Yeah.
But not much.
They're short staffed. Sometimes they just take a long time. Yeah. I remember that. I called them, it came like the next day.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Motion to continue to December 6th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion to close the public hearings.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We're done with all our updates now. Is there anything anybody wants to bring up?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dave.
I just have a question. I don't know where this fits in, but I was confused that the at the Alliance meeting, when the mayor pointed out, or maybe it was you, that you're not allowed to remove soil from Newbury Port?
Soil?
Yeah, you can't take, it started off.
On Plum Island or elsewhere?
Well, it started off with Plum Island, and then someone mentioned you're not allowed to take
Well, you're not allowed to take sand off the island. Maybe that's what they're referring to. And you're not really even allowed to move sand from one portion of the island to another. That's why anytime you bring in something for planting, you have to bring it in from off the island. It has to be from somewhere else. Because one of the regs in the Wetlands Protection Act under coastal dune is that there you cannot change the form of the dune by moving, by shift, you know, mechanically or otherwise shifting sand. So that's why people can't regrade their sites. They just have to leave it as is.
But you can't remove soil, or is it sand, from Plum Island? It
must be sand.
Yeah, because you can't remove it. I think there's an old, what is it, like, it's almost like
maybe,
a blue law.
Maybe because soil is part, because all of Plum Island is considered the coastal dune, so actually anything, including the soil on the coastal dune, would be considered part of the dune.
Right, but I recall that even on the mainland, forget Plum Island,
okay.
that there used to be some ruling about moving, taking soil outside of the city limits.
That's what was drawn up.
And
interesting, maybe there's an old law.
Yeah, and it was to prevent against somebody. You know,
might have been Evergreen Acres. that gravel pit.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know, to big,
people were
digging a big
and
hole
and
to and selling the stuff.
Right.
Okay, but that's not something that's come up before, and it's not necessarily something that we want to focus on. Or, I didn't want to bring it up when.
Well, I do know, like, when people were replacing, like, grass and such, they had to get rid of that soil, didn't they? The loam.
And replace it with sand.
And replace it with sand.
Yeah.
And I think that had to be removed from the island, because you can't have any.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure we asked, in the past we've asked people to get rid of that, so.
Yeah.
But not sand.
Right.
Okay,
I the ocean's doing enough of that.
Right.
I don't want to start some old blue law or something.
It might be something like that.
Do you have something,
Dan? Yeah, I wanted to get an update on Evergreen. Are we going to see that application sometime soon?
That is a good question. So they're going back, it's still before the planning board for the preliminary subdivision, and then the OSRD, they filed two plans. One is their as of right or by right subdivision plan, which is really big and ugly, shows how many houses they can fit on the site. And the other is the OSRD, the open space residential design plan, which has things squeezed and clustered and all this open space being provided. It's still 40 homes. But so those are both before the planning board, and their next hearing is on December, I think it's the 14th.
I thought it was before that, but in December sometime.
I think it's like their second meeting in December. But I'll have to check on the exact date of that. But the planning board has been focused heavily on the water quality issue with this well number 2, which is right next door. And aside from that water supply protection issue, they would go ahead and I think issue a permit and be able to issue a permit for the project for this OSRD. But there's a huge amount of concern about this water supply well because it provides 20% of the city's water. It's incredibly clean. It doesn't even go through the treatment plant. It goes straight from the well into the pipes, into your home. And not only that, it's in an area of town where there's potential for another well. So the city looks at it as their, like, a critical, not just critical supply on a regular basis, but a critical backup supply. If anything ever happened to the treatment plant or to the Artichoke Reservoir water supply, then this would be what we would have to rely on for the whole city. So if it gets contaminated, that's a big problem. They wouldn't know about it until it was already in the pipes, number one. And then number two, they'd have to figure out how to treat it. And there's no connection between there and the treatment plant right now. So it'd be some multi-million dollar project to then pipe that well water over to the treatment plant. So all this is what the planning board's been talking about. And it's really tricky. So the lawyers on the developer side are saying that don't worry, there's going to be no contamination. This is just a residential development. It's allowed under zoning in the zone two, and nothing's going to be a problem. And then you've got the hydrogeologist that the neighbors hired, and lawyers, and the city's consultant saying, absolutely, there's potential for contamination. You can see already that salts and things like that will reach that well from the site. It's just a matter of how much and when. And so any other contaminant could very easily, in fact, would reach the well, because everything that infiltrates in the Evergreen site goes towards that well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the issue where they've been pumping, you know how they talked about how Tom was saying how the Evergreen Golf Course pumps water out of their own well into their ponds, keep the ponds wet and to irrigate and everything. So they're actually drawing water up from beneath the golf course on their own, which in some senses could be reducing the flow of water currently towards well number two, which might be why we're not seeing more contaminants in well number two.
It's a little loop that they're creating.
It's creating like a closed loop there, that when that pumping from Evergreen stops and instead you have 40 homes bringing in new water, potable water that's going into the ground, you're going to have an increased flow towards well number two, along with whatever contaminants that's going to take. And then you've got the isolated land subject to flooding, which is going to be flooding all the time. So there's and it's high groundwater table, and the whole place is a bowl, and the water goes nowhere else. So that's why I think, my personal opinion, is that the planning board might not permit this.
I know they have ideas that they want to. At least certain folks on there have ideas with regards to it.
The city council has actually voted on a resolution to say that they are unanimously opposed to the project.
But they have no.
They have no.
With no standing.
No.
No.
No, but they have.
But they would support the city if there was an appeal.
Yes.
Yeah.
They could approve funding for the fight.
Now, my understanding of what's there currently. The golf course had to underlay all those fairways with impervious materials.
Only the basins, and only two of the basins.
I thought it was
are
the
clay
fairways
lined.
Too.
No, it's just
okay.
Two of the stormwater basins, and they're clay lined. And the back one that we call jurisdictional isolated vegetation is not clay lined.
Okay.
And that's all still part of the ILSF. So those are all areas that will flood and infiltrate.
Mm-hmm. And
so the city has a hydrogeologist, and the proponents have a hydrogeologist,
right.
And they don't agree.
And they don't agree. And right now, the city is going to try to send out our consultants to take a look at the aquifer under the golf course, just to see also if it is an area that could supply additional water for the city in the future, if the pumping from that well could be expanded. Just to see the value of the site to the city in the long term.
So maybe the city wants to buy the land and have it as well.
It'd be pretty expensive, but they're at least doing the due diligence to see what's out there underneath.
So if the planning board does approve it, then it'll come to us with the same fight.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't there be an appeal? Wouldn't there be a good chance there'll be an appeal if it? The city approves
if,
it?
If the planning board approves it, the neighbors will probably appeal. But regardless, it could still get to us, and we would have the notice of intent, and we would have the exact same questions, issues, all of it would have to, it would be like starting all over again. The fortunate thing is that we will already have all of this data.
Yeah. But we also have the authority.
And we have a different ordinance and regulations that are a little bit closely related to the water supply.
If we approved it, they'd probably appeal.
They'd appeal it. Right? They'd appeal it too.
Yeah, but you know, it's something we got to look at too and take it seriously, because that all the ILSF, it's all a resource area, and the water just infiltrates in from there.
Yeah,
could be a lot of green roofs.
I think it's less about that. It's about what people are putting on there.
Oh, On
their lawns,
right.
and even what people might have in their basements or their garages, because it spills, the water table is so high,
right,
that, you know, even if something spilled on someone's driveway or in their garage, or if there's a leak in someone's basement and a flood, you know, it's just...
People using herbicides.
Yeah, not to mention...
If the sewer backs up and flows out there, well, that probably will mostly get cleaned anyways, but some of the chemical...
You know what would be interesting, because I remember when we approved the, is it flat iron or steam iron development, that, you know, oh, who was that previous mayor? Who?
Moak?
Near where they did the toxic site
Lisa
cleanup.
Lisa Mead?
Oh, Ed Mullen.
Yeah, Mullen. That there was a lot of his land, and there was a big pond right there, and there were had all kinds of conditions in there about uses of chemicals by homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious to see how that has worked out over the years.
Well, that's one of the things that the planning board doesn't want. That's what they're being told by the developer, saying, well, you can just put in conditions,
right, yeah,
that people can't use this or that or this or that. The problem with that is,
how do you know?
You can't monitor, if you can't monitor one golf course owner, which they weren't being monitored,
yeah,
then how can you monitor 40 homeowners who are going to drive to Home Depot on a Sunday and
get what they want?
Whatever,
yeah,
they want.
Right.
So the homeowners association documents that get looked at when someone buys their house and then never get looked at again.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what's concerning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's surprising that you could have two hydrogeologists looking at the same data,
yeah,
can come up with exactly opposite conclusions depending on who's paying them.
Well, exactly.
No.
If they're both saying the same thing in terms of the flow of the groundwater,
yeah,
but one is arguing that it won't cause contamination, and the other is arguing that, and they're basing it on the definition of contamination. This is like so political. It's semantics. They're saying, One person is saying, if you look up the definition of contaminant and contamination, it is anything. And so therefore, you know, salt or natural components in water could be considered contaminants. And so therefore, it's not going to be contaminated. And then the other one is saying, well, according to the Clean Water Act definition of contaminant, a contaminant is this. And
I think
that's how they're arguing it.
They should define it, a contaminant as something that makes the water undrinkable,
yeah,
and be done with it. You know?
And requires treatment.
Right. Well, actually, that's what the developer is saying. I'm sorry, I misspoke. The developer is saying that a contaminant should only be called a contaminant if it will adversely impact the water supply beyond the acceptable limits of something. And therefore, our development is not going to cause that.
How can they say that?
They're saying that. They're saying because even at the most amount of this or that, the salt level in the water might go up this much, and that's actually still way below what EPA would consider contaminated. And then our lawyers are saying, well, but a contaminant is anything that could enter the water supply that we might not even know about and might not have an upper limit for yet. So a contaminant should be looked at as anything, because it's all about potential contamination. And we've shown that things can get from point A to point B, so therefore potential contamination can get from point A to point B. So our lawyers are looking at it in a much broader definition of contamination.
I don't see how anybody could say that the contaminants won't reach the level of...
Right.
You can't say that.
You can't say that. You don't know. Somebody could take a case of oil,
dump it, and it gets washed down there, and it goes.
Yeah.
Is there two consultants or three consultants?
So there's really three, because the developers got their own hydrogeologist. The neighborhood has a lawyer and a hydrogeologist, and the city has a hydrogeologist.
So who do you think would be more likely to cause a spill? Would it be a golf course maintaining equipment or homeowners mowing lawns?
I think it's homeowners. There's a lot more potential.
There's just higher variability with homeowners, whereas the other thing is a golf course.
But higher variability doesn't necessarily increase the risk.
No. But I think what they're saying is that a golf course is one business with one owner and one management. And normally their landscaping is done by a team and they purchase things on an annual basis, on a regular basis, and you can monitor something like that and put conditions on one entity like that that can be monitored.
But that wasn't being done,
because that's what they did back in 1985. The conditions upon the golf course were crazy. They're supposed to be doing biannual sampling and providing all the sampling results. Anytime they purchase a different kind of chemical, they're supposed to tell the city about it. Zero.
No, of course not.
So the city's saying, well, if we can't get, if that's not happening with one entity, 40 is going to be a lot harder.
That's partially the city's fault.
It's partially the city's fault.
Following it itself, but again, with 40 different homeowners.
But you know, with a golf course, you've got a much more extensive area of grass lawn that the business is reliant upon the quality of that. So they're more likely, in my opinion, they're more likely to take risks with applying chemicals or what have you to the lawn, to the grass, to the fairways, to the greens, and maintaining equipment that you're using, you know, to maintain a golf course. You're getting a lot more. You have diesel fuel. You've got who knows who's doing this work. I mean, in my opinion, you're much more likely to have accidents when you have a business like that than if you have homeowners who are filling their gas can, you know, filling their lawnmower, you know, with gas, you know, a couple times a year.
Well, the other issue with putting homes there is you're messing with what's essentially now undisturbed soil. You're creating pathways for with all the different foundations. You're creating pathways down into the soil which do not exist now. So right now you have essentially this big flat surface that hasn't been messed with for 40 years. But when you start dumping, digging it up for homes, now you have all those foundations. The side of the foundation is now a pathway for water or something to go down in, where there is no pathway now. It's solid soil. The construction process, all that's going to change all the dynamics of how water infiltrates in that area. And you know, I don't know how high where they're building houses. I haven't seen the plans where they plan on doing building these houses, but you know, how far above the water table are they, or are they?
Not far. They won't be able to have like full basements. But you make a good point, because it was said previously that some consultant that the city looked at this area at one point for water supply said that when they were doing the zone two, looking at the zone two, they said that a likely source of contamination was the golf course, and that the homes that are in the zone two were not considered as high of a risk as the golf course was. That was the only difference, is that there was only a handful of homes in the zone two, and now there would be 40. But in general, the golf course would be considered a higher potential pollutant.
It seems to me. I mean,
Well, they'd have greater concentrations.
Yeah.
If there was a spill, it'd be a bigger one.
And they're potentially applying.
A single homeowner might have.
Based on what I've seen of maintenance out there on that golf course, I don't think they were doing anything.
But that's what someone else said. With this particular golf course, they're probably not doing very much heavy-duty treatment of that grass. It's wet already. They just irrigate it and
mow it. That's about it. I don't think they did anything else.
Not a lot.
But
so it should be interesting if it ever gets. We're gonna get bogged down, it gets to us.
But it certainly won't be until next year.
We're gonna be in the auditorium every night with them. Yeah.
Yes, we will be, we'll be downstairs.
Right. It won't be till next year,
And I did spend the weekend transferring our approved ANRAD to my GIS system, so
that's
did a 100-foot buffer around the whole thing, and it's I don't see a lot of room for 40 houses if
they're all going in here.
And that's what well
before you're getting stuffed.
And there's a sort of like a hydrologic divide that goes through here. But all of this area is what flows more directly, most directly.
So the houses are
going to
be right on top of
it. Yeah, all the developed area will be right where, right in the primary zone 2 area.
Yeah, I hope they require them to have some sort of a insurance plan. If the well does get contaminated afterwards, they got to pay for a pipe and a pumping system.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is, I can see why the city's as panicked about it as they are.
Yeah, it's because it's such an important water source. Extremely important.
If that's the case, why don't they just bite the bullet and buy the land and protect it?
How far out into this property does the water department's buffer go? Was it like 600 feet or?
The water department's land, you mean the zone 2?
Yeah.
The zone 2 for this well, so the zone 1 is just right around the well, I think it's like 300 feet around the well or something. But the zone 2 encompasses almost all of the golf course, if not all of the golf course area.
So they could just say no to any?
Under our zoning, housing is considered an allowed use within the zone 2. But then there's another clause in the zoning for the zone 2, the water supply protection zone, that says that activities which may be prohibited are any activities that could potentially cause contamination of the water supply. So then it's
back to the definition of contamination.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's kind of a vague statement.
It leaves
it very open, so it's not.
And some are saying, well, but because it specifically allows for housing, then this other stuff clause applies to everything but housing.
Right.
Sounds like that.
And that's what their lawyers are saying. Our lawyers are saying, no, it's more all-encompassing, you know. Yeah, it's legal.
Mm-hmm.
Jumbo.
We won't be seeing this one for a while.
Yeah.
Maybe a while.
Hopefully never.
That part too. So
if the planning board rejects it, it would certainly be a whole lot cheaper for the city to buy it if they wanted to.
I'm sure they'd fight that one tooth and nail too, because they're basically condemning the land and paying what they want to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Or saying you can't build on it, so it's not worth anything.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be quite
But still would have some value as a golf course if they maintained it a little better.
Mm-hmm.
The buildings look like they're falling apart.
Right.
You get 7 people a day paying $9 for the golf, what do you expect?
That's right.
Does that answer your question, Dan?
It does, yeah. Thank you.
But I would think that I would suggest if you all can come to the planning board meeting in December, and I'll send you an email of what the date and time is for that, it would be good to come because there's a lot of information really pertinent to our stuff that's being discussed.
Yeah, I was bummed it got booted by a storm surge the other day.
Yeah. That's okay, it's sort of better.
Yeah.
We need a break.
All right, you got anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.